Hello. Welcome to one of the first breakout sessions at Build this year. In the morning, you guys heard from Satya, Scott, and Harry about the investments we are making with AI technologies. This session builds upon that. It is about video AI and the investments we are making in that. My name is Milan Garda, and I'm going to be joined with my colleague Ohad for this session. In terms of roles, I am the product manager for cloud video AI services at Microsoft, and Ohad leads the engineering team for one of those products. We have multiple products, and we are going to go over that. A few things before we get started. If you have questions, please hold on to them till the end. We have a lot of good material to go over, a demo and a couple of customer integration examples, and we want to go over, complete that material. If we do not manage to answer all questions, Ohad and I will be available after the session to answer any remaining questions. So to start on this session, I wanted to start with a customer story related to video AI and how video AI technologies help them. As you can imagine, we work with a lot of customers, and one of them happens to be from the news media industry. This customer has a lot of video clips that they have accumulated over the years. Specifically, the customer I'm talking about had 50 years worth of video clips. And some time ago, they made the decision that they wanted to take these videos and put it on their website so that their online subscribers can access it. And so they went through a full planning process for that. They identify the CMS provider, the hosting service, how they would need to update their software and services, even you know what they would need to do in analytics. They did all the hard work. They went live with it. And then a few months later, they sat down to analyze the results. They wanted to know, hey, did we meet our business goals? And by and large, yes, they had a bump up in the number of hours that the users were spending on their site. But it wasn't as much as they were expecting. The bump up was very little. So they were a little disappointed. They wanted to figure out, well, why is that the case? What's going on? So they put together a task force to go and investigate. And these people, they got together, they dug deeper. And what they found is that even though they had a lot of interesting content, users weren't able to discover the content. They were using one of the cutting-edge search infrastructures, but still they were having this problem. And the reason was that, you know, when you index video, what are you doing? You're using the title and description of the video, and you stop there. But video is a lot more than that. Traditional search systems, they treat video as an opaque object. You do not look inside. What video AI technologies do is they dig deeper inside the video, they extract the metadata, and they offer it for search purposes. You can index that, and then you can do a lot more with the video. These guys came to that conclusion, and then they did a cost analysis. Well, if we have to generate all this metadata, how would we do it? You could hire an army of people, and they would have to work for several months, because you're dealing with 50 years worth of content. That's not that's not little. It's quite a lot. And it's not a one-time operation, because you get new videos pouring in every day. So and it's just economically unviable to do that. Since these guys have been our customers for a long time, they discussed the issue with us to explore technologies that they could use in this case. And we suggested that they consider using some of the AI technologies that we have in place. We built a prototype, did a cost-benefit analysis, and it was a successful project. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, what are these services, where it can help to solve these kinds of problems? So to summarize, what we are looking at is video AI technologies helping you with the following problems. One is it can help you improve content discoverability. You want your users to find the right content. You want them to find the right moments within a video rather than the start of the video. The other is that you want, for at least the customers which are in the business of monetizing their content based on the amount of time that users spend on their properties, online properties, it can help in increasing user engagement. The third point on this slide is about increasing the content value. What does that mean? If you know what's in your video, you can position the right ads at that point in time, so you get targeted advertising. As well as if you are positioning your content with your syndication partners, for example, and you know what's in that video, what is in the subset of a video, you could price your content appropriately. And by and large, overall, you know, AI technologies can help reduce manual labor. And this is a sensitive topic because a lot of people think that, hey, AI technologies are just going to replace human. But you will see in a little bit that really we need to look at this as aiding humans versus replacing humans. So I talked about the news media industry as an example, but really these technologies can be used across a variety of industries. Basically, anybody who has a library of video content that they want to position in front of their users, you can apply these technologies and benefit from it. And with that in mind, you know, if you are a software developer and you are wondering that, hey, should I invest in these technologies? Should I integrate these in my products or not? Well, consider the data on this slide. This data is from a white paper which was authored by Cisco. The white paper is called the Zettabyte Era White Paper. What this data is showing is that video, which we know has been growing by leaps and bounds, will continue to do so in the short term. And that will not stop in the year 2020. Look at the third tile on this. What does it say? The amount of data that is going to come from surveillance cameras is going to be more than 5 exabytes. Not petabytes, exabytes. That's a lot of data. And as more and more of these cameras get connected to the IP network, that data is just going to grow. And so is the other data coming from entertainment sources, news video, et cetera. There's no way that you can use humans to process all this data. You need technologies to help humans to process all this data, get information so we can be productive. And that's where AI technologies have a big role to play. So with that in mind, at Microsoft, we've been building various services, and that's what we're going to talk about. There are two main products. The first product is Azure Media Analytics. This is a product which we introduced to the market last year, and we've made a lot of progress on that. Here's a slide which shows you the various services that are part of this product. As you can see, there's a variety of technologies ranging from processing the audio signal in these videos to extract the spoken words transcript, to face detection, to generating summaries out of videos, face redaction, object detection, and so on. We don't have enough time in the session to dig deeper into each of these, but I'll touch upon a few of these. And let's specifically, I want to dig in on face redaction because we are very, very proud of the work we've done in this. So let me give some context in that. So in the United States, there's a law called the Freedom of Information Act. Not sure how many of you are aware of that. But that law, in simple terms, entitles any citizen of this country to go to a police department and say, hey, I want to see the videos that you captured from this incident. The police department has to comply with the law. They have to release the videos to you. But they are also supposed to protect the identity of the people who were captured in that video. So they have to redact the faces of the people. Now, for those of you who have played around with video editing software, you know it's not an easy task. It takes a lot of work. It takes more than 10 minutes to process a 10-minute video. And our police officers are not experts in video editing, and that's not really their job. And that's where a technology like face redaction comes into play. So what have we built in the service? What we've built is that the ability for you to send a video using an API call. For every video that comes to this service, we actually offer a two-pass operation. In the first pass, we can detect all the faces and give you metadata about it. Then you can take that metadata, build an application to showcase that to the user, and make some choices. And then in the second pass, we can go and redact all the faces. But what happens in the first pass is this. We take the video, we run a two-pass algorithm on it. In pass one, we do forward tracking of the faces. What does that mean? The moment we detect a face, we assign an ID to it, and we track it throughout the video. And we generate the metadata associated with it. In the second pass, we do backward tracking, which means if a person entered with a side view profile, you know, the face detection algorithm is not going to catch it at that time. But when you're doing the second pass, you're going backwards, starting from when the front face of the person was captured. So that helps get more accurate metadata for the duration that that person's face is in the video, which is important in this case. The more data we have of that sort, it reduces the manual work that is involved later when you are actually trying to redact the faces. We also do face grouping, meaning that if the same face is present in two different parts of the video, we assign the same ID. We also generate a thumbnail per person. And that's the information you can use when you build an application on top of it. And actually, I have a video showing a customer integration with this. I was talking about face redaction with respect to, you know, the public safety workflow. But that's not the only industry that can use this. There are other use cases. For example, there are countries out there where there's a law that you cannot show the face of a child in a news video clipping. You have to redact their faces. Also, if you are a reality TV show producer and you have your cameraman walking on the streets trying to capture some video footage, at times you are required to redact the faces of the people who are standing by the side of the street. So there are other applications of this technology. I've been talking about face redaction, but each one of these has an application of this kind. I'm going to move on to talk about a customer of ours which has integrated with our technologies, and that customer is Genetech. For those of you who don't know who Genetech is, they are a big name in the video surveillance space. They build software for managing videos captured from your surveillance cameras. They also do access control applications, license plate recognition. Recently, they built a new service called Genetech Clearance. It's an evidence management service. What it does is it enables you to manage evidence from multiple sources. You could have documents, images, videos, and video is a key part of this. So as you can imagine, if you're managing evidence, at some point you have to release the evidence to other people, like the attorney of the other side or the general public. And that's where they needed a face redaction solution. And Genetech was gracious enough to share a video of their product with us. Their product does a lot more. The video is specifically focused on the face redaction piece. So let me play that video just to show the integration of that product.
Genetech Clearance gives agencies the ability to redact video in-house using a simple tool. Looking at video from a pedestrian crosswalk, Genetech Clearance uses the Azure Media Face Redactor to locate and track human faces within the video. Multiple faces can be detected and then tracked as they move around the frame. A separate mask is created for each face to be redacted, allowing you to adjust the size of the mask or to remove a mask altogether. Once all faces have been identified, the application begins the process of facial blurring. A few minutes of footage that contains multiple faces can take hours to redact manually. But with this service, the face redaction process only requires a few simple steps, helping law enforcement and security agencies save time and money.
So that was face redaction in action with Genetech. Now, the one-minute video does not do justice in terms of the richness of how their product works, but it gives you a glimpse into what that looks like. So that was about Azure Media Analytics. And as I mentioned, we don't have enough time to dig deeper into it, each of the technologies, but there's a lot of information available at this URL. Plus, I am available after the presentation to go deeper into any questions you may have. What I want to talk mainly is about the second product in the space of video AI, and that's a new product that we are announcing today. It's called Video Indexer. Video Indexer has been built based on a garage project that we announced several months ago. So in September of last year, we had announced a garage project called Video Breakdown. The customer response to that has been very, very, very positive. As a result of this, we are announcing Video Indexer as a member of the Cognitive Services family. At an extremely high level, what does Video Indexer do? It does three things. Given a video, it extracts a set of metadata, which we convert to insights in the video. We combine all those metadata to extract more meaningful information. The set of AI technologies is predefined with us along with the configurations. The service has APIs for you to go and get that metadata in the form of a JSON document. But we also provide a web portal for you to go and curate the metadata, fix up some of the minor errors that you get by running these machine learning technologies. And then, of course, after curation, you can download the metadata if you want, or you can still leave it with us and publish those using a web widget. So you could have insights extracted by AI technologies as part of your application without even having much knowledge about computer vision technologies. Essentially, this service enables you to use video AI technologies with just a few lines of code. And this product, I think it's best experienced with a demo. And Ohad is the engineering manager for Video Indexer. So he's going to walk you through a demo of the product, and then we will talk about the features and the APIs and other things that we do. So Ohad, whenever you're ready.
Reconnecting the PC.
Yeah, so the landing page for this product is vi.microsoft.com, and you can go and sign up for an account and get started today. We are offering a free preview of the service with some limited quota. So, Ohad, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm going to walk you through the service that we're launching today. And as Milan mentions, you can all go to vi.microsoft.com and get a quick sense of what this service is and what it does. And let me try and walk you through most of those things. So in terms of things that we extract, and I'm going to go not into the details over each one of those, but you can see that we're detecting quite a few things out of a video that is being uploaded to the website or, as we'll see further, through the programmatic interface. We extract the transcript. We track faces and try to identify them. If they are not a celebrity or a person that was previously identified, we let the user the chance to teach the underlying models who that person is so that on consecutive videos you'll be able to identify them. We handle things like translation. So if your video is one source language, we support 9 different types of audio languages, and you want to translate that to another type of language, then that's supported. Things like understanding who spoke when based on the voice signature, or when was a voice activity detected, such as hand clapping. We're providing several technologies for content moderation, both visual and textual. Extract keywords, sentiment, OCR, and so on. So when I'm uploading a video, as you'll see in a second, all of that is being analyzed and provided as an index for this video. so that I could use that. Let's go into the website itself. So now I'm signed in. I can see in the gallery my own account and the quota that I have. We provide a free quota as part of this trial. And let's look at some sample videos. And you can see that this looks like a familiar look for a video gallery. But the difference is that after I've uploaded some videos, I can start to search them. So for example, if I'm interested in security, I can do a search. But that's something that we've all seen. Now I'm also looking for a person named Scott that would appear inside the video. And I can see here two examples for videos. One of them is the Visual Studio 2017 launch event. Another one is the Ignite keynote from past year. And I can see several cases where security has been detected over the transcript or over the OCR. And as I'm scanning through those results, I'm able to see the time point where it was found. So I'll jump
into
our
management and security solutions now enable you.
Okay, so I found the exact moment where Scott talks about security. Now this is the second screen inside Video Indexer. It provides an enhanced viewing experience. As you can see on the left side, I have the player, which is our own Azure Media Player. And on the right-hand side, there's a bunch of tiles which provides me insights that were extracted from this video. Now, we don't visualize here all of the information which appears inside the index. We just select a few and visualize that. The index itself is much richer and contains more information than what you see here. So for example, we cut off a long tail of faces. If a person appears in the video for a few seconds, we don't show it here in the UI, but this information is found inside the index so that if your application requires that, then you're able to benefit from that. I can see a bunch of people that were detected throughout the video, and when their face appears throughout the video and jump through those cases. In many cases, we're able to identify the person. So in this case, I see Scott Guthrie, I see Julia White, I see Satya, and so on. One more thing that we extract is keywords, things that were repetitively mentioned or analyzed as key themes for the content that appears, both on the transcript and in the visual OCR channel. So if, for example, I'm interested in advanced threat detection,
detailed security,
then I'm able to jump into that and find the exact moment where this was mentioned or showed on screen. Let me jump into a moment where Julia appears on screen.
The world's largest conference on the planet focused exclusively on IT.
So you can see the face tracking really works also in cases where the face appears in a different location than it previously mentioned. This is the stuff that Milan mentioned earlier, which is the face grouping. It's beneficial when a person appears at the beginning of a video and at the end of a video, or in cases where they switch positions. Lastly, I can detect sentiment and find cases where the speech or the transcript was positive. This is a keynote, so obviously most of it is positive. One last thing that I'd like to show here on the screen is that we show more videos which contain the same person or the same topics that are worthwhile considering when we're seeing this video. I'm going to show another element, which is a transcript.
Now, I've been in the industry for a while, and I'm well aware that IT stands for information technology. But the reality is today, IT...
So you can see here is a transcript that we're able to pick up. But in this case, let's translate that to another language, because I mentioned there's the ability to translate that on the fly. So as we're doing that, the whole transcript is being in real time being translated
into French.
Stands for
innovation and transformation.
And now
that's
I'm also able to pick up
and all
closed captions for
it
that.
It is that innovation and transformation that has very much defined my experience.
Obviously, any transcript and translation technology has its errors. Nevertheless, we see some very relevant results out of this. Now, lastly, I'm able to search within the video. I'm going to go back to English and search. We search for security, right? So I'm going to search security again. And here I'm going to see all the results from within this video and be able to, again, pick up all of the locations where
that's top of mind.
Security was detected, whether through OCR or on transcript. So this is an example for how you could visualize the index and help the productivity of a user watching this video in order to ensure that they're able to pick up the right moment within the video easily. And interact with the video in a new manner. One more thing that I'd like to show to you is the ability to edit this video and create a highlight reel of that. So I'll jump into the editor that we offer, and again, choose security. Okay. And I can see all of the cases where it has been detected. I'll select a few segments out of these, or a few lines, which are the moments which I'd like to select as my highlights. You can see that they are spanned throughout the video. So in this case, this is a 1 hour, 45 minute long video. I picked up segments which goes from minute 4:09 to 4:47, and then from 20:51 to 50 to 21:50. I can, you know, on a fine granular basis, remove every single line here. And then when I'd like to create a highlight reel of that, I'll just press
the incredible preview. Open source solutions across.
You can see that a new video has been created. This is now 1 minute, 42 seconds. All of the time points were adjusted according to my new video timeline. This is no longer the keynote. This is my security highlight. And now I can publish that as a new shareable asset that I'll find in my catalog, and I'll be able to share that with my friends. One last thing that I'd like to share here is the programmatic interface which we expose, and I'm going to go through that in a slide in a second, but there's a programmatic interface which allows me as a developer to interact with this technology, do the upload, search, and so on. We'll see that all of that in a second. So switching back to the presentation, the basic architecture that Video Indexer offers is starts with a scalable and efficient orchestration of all sorts of AI technologies that we have throughout the company, in Microsoft Cognitive Services, in Azure Media Analytics, and otherwise in cases where we're offering technologies that are uniquely available in Video Indexer. This scalable and efficient orchestration ensures that I, as a customer or as a user, can upload as many videos as I like, and the ingestion pipeline processes that in an efficient and scalable manner, takes off some of the engineering overheads that In the past, I had to get a really good understanding on how video transcoding or how video processing works, takes care of all of that. Then the core piece is obviously all of the different AI models and capabilities that we're using in order to analyze the video. As I mentioned, there's audio transcript, face detection, OCR labeling. By the way, this is an example for something that exists inside the index and isn't visualized in the player page, which I showed earlier. This is detecting objects such as cat, table, and so on within keyframes within the video, because we do scene detection and keyframe analysis. This is another component that is analyzing the video and providing some technical information regarding when does a scene start and ends, and what are the keyframes out of that, in case I'd like to extract some thumbnails or analyze just those keyframes. Content moderation, both visual and textual, so that even if I have a video which just has a speech channel, no visual content whatsoever, but someone is using explicit terms or words inside of that, we'll pick that up. We identify faces, index who spoke when, and so on. On top of that, we're using Azure Search in order to provide all of the search capabilities, either within the video and the index that are specific to this video, or in general throughout my account. And then we offer those two components which I've shown. Let me go back a second. The player itself and this insights panel, we offer them as embeddable components, which I can easily plug into my website or app, in a very simple manner. So we see cases where this type of visualization suits the app design and can be easily integrated. We see cases where there's a need for a different type of visualization, and then users are using the index in order to create their own visualization on top of that. So to sum up how all those products interact together, we have Azure Media Analytics, we have Cognitive Services, and we have Video Indexer. Video Indexer tried to orchestrate all of those technologies, all of those components. It also leveraged DocDB and Azure Search in order to provide all those search capabilities, and offers APIs and widgets. So let me, since this is a developer event, I'd like to focus on the APIs themselves for a moment and walk you through them. We offer an upload video API endpoint, and that's you can get the video file as an array of bytes, or a stream of bytes, or as an upload URL, so that you'd be able to ask Video Indexer to go and fetch the file for you. Then it starts doing the processing. So while it does the processing, which usually takes a few minutes, I can use the get processing state, your API endpoint, in order to understand whether it's still waiting in the queue, has it start indexing, how many percentage of the indexing has already been done, or has the processing been finished. Then afterwards, I'm able to get the insights. As Milan mentioned, we started as this project as a garage project. So, and the term is still breakdown there. We need to update that sometime in the future. But the get breakdown allows me to get the index, which I'll show in a second, which is a JSON structure, which contains all of the data points and insights that we are able to extract. In the case where there's an external CMS involved and you'd like to keep the videos and the index elsewhere, You get to choose whether you'd like to interact with IDs that we generate or provide an external one. This is why you see some duplication between GET insights, which are based on an external ID or by the IDs that we generate. Obviously, you're also able to delete the index or the video. And lastly, you can get the VTTs, the closed captions, in any language of your choice using a dedicated URL endpoint so that you could take your own player and simply inject the translated captions that were extracted into that player. So the use cases that we see for this rich API set vary through different five use cases, and I'd like to walk through them. The first one is an offline indexing or a processing cycle where I'm sending the video. Once it's ready, I'm extracting the index. I'm keeping the video and keeping the index on my platform or infrastructure of choice, and basically discarding everything else from video indexer. The second type of use case is where we're doing the indexing, but also interacting with that. So for example, doing translations through the dedicated API endpoint. It means that we're discarding the video, but we're keeping the index so that we'd be able to extract further languages after that. Once I've fetched all of the different languages, then I can also go back to Video Indexer and ask programmatically for it to discard the index. And again, we're now with our own infrastructure and platform. From the third use case, I'm assuming that the index is being kept on Video Indexer and is not being deleted at the end of the processing sequence. And we're also leveraging that in order to empower search, whether through a dedicated video or a specific video or through the entire catalog. This is beneficial for cases where there's already an infrastructure for content management and streaming in place, but I'd like to enrich the search results which I already have with more search results which are coming from Video Indexer. The fourth types of use case is that I'd also like to visualize the insights. So I'm using the widgets that we provide, either the widget or also the player page, which takes us to the fifth use case. And that's when we keep also the video in saved and stored in Video Indexer. And we're also using Video Indexer as a streaming platform that empowers our app or website. So after that, I want to share with you a customer story about Uyala.
Yep.
Milan?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, Video Indexer, even though we are announcing today, started taking shape September of last year in the form of a garage project called Video Breakdown. We've had several customers use the APIs and build prototypes and demo applications. One of the customers we want to highlight here is Uyala. For those of you who don't know who Uyala is, they are a global provider of video monetization software and services. They have a variety of products. There are four listed over here. Uyala Flex is about video workflow management software. You can, provide a video to the service and define a workflow using a Visio kind of interface. It's pretty powerful. Uyala Backlot is their CMS platform, their content management system. And then Uyala Pulse is their ad platform, and Uyala IQ is the analytics platform for video. So as you can see, they have a pretty comprehensive end-to-end solution for video. They were also gracious enough to give us a video that demonstrates the integration of Video Indexer across these products. What you're going to see in the demo is that a video is uploaded using Uyala Flex. It goes through a workflow. One of the things in that workflow is extraction of insights using Video Indexer APIs. All the metadata that's extracted then gets pushed to Uyala Backlot, their CMS system, which is where you can manage the publishing of the asset. And then the insights that are extracted are used for targeted advertising in Ooyala Pulse. That's what the video is. It's a 3-minute video. Let me play that, and you will see that in how the APIs are used.
Ooyala has developed an integrated video platform solution powered by Microsoft Azure and Cognitive Services to help improve video monetization, discovery, and accessibility. Here's an example of how a video is presented on a website within minutes with robust metadata and targeted advertising powered by Microsoft's Video Indexer. This demo is orchestrated by Ooyala Flex, a customizable media logistics solution hosted on Microsoft Azure. Here, a custom workflow has been created in Ooyala Flex. Uploading content with Ooyala Flex web transfer tool triggers that workflow. A key step in the workflow is the generation of metadata by Microsoft's Video Indexer. Ooyala leverages Microsoft's APIs to extract frame-accurate data about the videos. Here, this solution leverages Microsoft for facial recognition, transcript creation, speech-to-text translation to Spanish and Japanese, and topic identification. These insights are used to drive Ooyala's video recommendation engine. With these powerful insights, Ooyala's workflow engine waits for a brief manual review process. After approval, the video is sent to Ooyala Backlot, a cloud-based solution for management, publishing, and optimization of video content. Backlot also leverages Azure Media Services for cloud-based transcoding, storage, and CDN delivery of video content. A simple Azure-hosted website presents the videos, along with the newly generated metadata. On the main page, thumbnails of recently added content are presented alongside recommendations from Ooyala Discovery, an industry-leading video recommendations engine. Selecting one of the thumbnails launches a video detail page with the Ooyala Player, which includes client-side stitching of ads from Ooyala Pulse, a sell-side advertising management platform. Along with the player, the viewer is automatically presented with the robust metadata extracted from Microsoft's Video Indexer. Viewers can see which people appear in what videos and when, thanks to Microsoft. And below the video player is a rail of recommendations from Ooyala Discovery, presenting similar videos with the similarity driven by topics received from Video Indexer. Imagine the possibilities of this combined solution. Here, when a viewer plays a video, playback is handled by Ooyala Backlot, with the underlying video content coming from Azure CDN, and ad targeting data is sent to Ooyala Pulse. Videos that don't feature the singer Idina Menzel display an ad for TJ Maxx. When Idina Menzel is identified, an American Express ad starring her is displayed instead. This entire demo was created in 3 weeks, a testament to how easily Microsoft's Video Indexer can be leveraged to create powerful solutions for video publishers and broadcasters. And this is just one example of how Microsoft and Ooyala are developing next-generation video services to help customers get content to market faster and build more engaging experiences.
So this is a great example of a video solution provider meeting the 4 key takeaways that I had earlier in the slide. Improve content discoverability, you can do that. You can improve consumer engagement because you're able to take the consumers right to the point in the video that are relevant to them. You're able to drive recommendation engine. Ooyala Discovery is an example of that using all that metadata. Targeted advertising is also part of this integration. They are able to play an ad of a particular person when that person is in the video, Idina Menzel. And of course, it reduces manual work. If you have to generate this metadata manually, it is going to take a while, it's tedious, and error prone as well. So that's the key underlying message with Video Indexer and what we're launching. We just have a few more slides to go over for closing remarks, and Ohad will take you through that. It really goes through the details of you know, what our API does.
Okay, so I wanted to provide a few examples on what you can find inside the index. Obviously, taking an index of such an, you know, a 1 hour, 45 minute long video is something which will tire the eyes, but I'm gonna go through several examples of those. So you can see here an example for our face that was tracked and then identified as Scott Henselman in one of the videos. I see it still has the old URL. This is probably, we extracted that when we built the slide a week ago. It would now be video indexer.ai. I can see a thumbnail of that person and the thumbnail URL. I can see segments where this face has appeared. So start time, end time, and in seconds. So whatever format is easier for me, we opted toward a more verbose kind of an approach in this case. Another extract from such an index would be topics or keywords that were detected. In this case, you can see a set of keywords which are n-grams, in this case, days of history. It appeared on minute 4, 40 second, and again at minute 12 and 7 seconds. And this is picked from the transcript. I can see a bunch of sentiments that were extracted. So for example, a negative sentiment has been detected in minutes 3 and 5 seconds, from the start. And again at minute 13. Another type of example, coding example, which I wanted to share is the widgets embedding. So as I've shown earlier, there's actually a couple of ways for me to get that. The first one is through the API and say I want to get the widget for this video, again, using the IDs that we generated or an external IDs that you provided or during upload. Another way is through the website itself, which is simply clicking and selecting whether I'd like the player or the insights. So those are the two widgets that we currently offer. And then including all of that. By the way, we allow passing some parameters that would ask or commands the insights widget to show or hide the people tile, the keywords tile, the speech sentiment tile, the transcript, the search, and the translation. So it's flexible. You get to customize that per your choose. And it's all in the documentation. Player, I can adjust the size of the player. And again, it's going to come with the CDN management for this video, and have all of the translation capabilities and closed captions that I've shown.
As call to action, as I mentioned, vi.microsoft.com is the landing page for this service. Please go ahead and sign up. The service is available for free to use. That's what we are launching right now. We will launch a paid plan in the coming months. And there is a support DL, vi support@microsoft.com, if you have any questions about the service as you get to using it. And lastly, there are a few other sessions which are related to what we talked about. Please attend these if you are interested in learning more about computer vision, as well as another session, which is about Microsoft Stream, which is our enterprise-focused product. They'll go over the architecture of how they went about building that application. So that's all the slides we had in this session. We still have around 10 minutes for Q&A. But as I said earlier, Ohad and I will be available even after that to answer any remaining questions. But let's get to Q&A. Any questions? Yeah. So the question is it possible to analyze real-time video from, for example, from a surveillance camera? Currently, the service works based only on files. This work item is on our backlog to get to, which is processing real-time video. Yep. You want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, it's customizable. You can just turn on and off tiles within that. We do plan to continue and enhance that, so things like a dark theme or stuff like that should be added in the future. But other than that, all of that is available in the index, and you could also create your own UI on top of that.
Yeah, if your question was, can you change the colors and all? Not yet, but yes. So, yep, we are tracking several of those work items, and we would love to hear your feedback. So there's going to be a user voice, as well as we have VI support at Microsoft.com. Please send us your feedback. Yes, one of you. please come to the mic so others can hear your question, please.
So a quick follow-up to one of those was, what is the preferred format and size for video files that you support?
You want to take that?
So we support both SD and HD type of content. In most cases, the high-end SDs are sufficient in order to extract meaningful information. I wouldn't go below that. So anything like 720 should be good enough.
Do you actually find that you get more noise or artifacts with higher resolution images?
There are cases where that happens, yes. Like, it depends on which exact feature is being looked at, but yes, in general, it happens.
And then I was curious also, have you explored doing like different kinds of action detection within like videos? For example, somebody sitting, somebody standing,
Talk to that. So our research team does have some components around that. We haven't productized it yet. It's one of the items on our roadmap. Like exactly that, what you're saying, analyzing a few frames of a video to know somebody sitting, drinking, eating. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, one other question along with that. You've got the transcription services, the face detection. Are you doing face-to-voice correlation kind of thing so you know which actual individual's speaking?
So currently those are two separate channels. We have the audio, which detects voice signatures and then does speaker diarization. That's the name of that component, which is understanding which voice signature appears repetitively through the audio channel. And there's the visual channel and the face tracking. Now, the ability to actually merge those two together is a complicated problem, especially in cases where the camera tilts or the person moves, or there are actors who are changing appearance through the video and so on and so forth, all those corner cases. It's definitely on our roadmap to offer this correlation that you're pointing out. It's still not available.
Maybe I missed it, but how do you name the faces?
Excuse me?
How do I provide names for faces?
So there's in the website.
Yeah, while he's bringing up. So the way it works is we detect a face and we match it against a celebrity database we have. We have around 170,000 people in that database. If it's not one of those people, it says unknown. And if you are the one who uploaded the video, you can go and give a name. Second time you upload a video of that same person, it will match it because we start building a face model in your account with the data you're providing. And what we do, just at the second level of
detail. All right.
Sorry for that.
uh, So, you know, we kind of take multiple poses of the person because we have multiple frames, and we build a pretty robust model.
This actually makes the accuracy of the identification much better. Usually when people interact with a programmatic endpoint of a face, they try to take, you know, like a mugshot of a person from an employee card or something like that, upload that, and expect that to be an efficient training, which obviously it isn't, and then, you know, identification rate drops and accuracy drops. Yeah. If you take a video and take some samples, it increases the accuracy.
Okay. Yep.
How does scene boundaries are detected?
Okay.
So is it just the camera angles, or you know the it was like a emotional scene? Like, how do you go on the violent scene?
There are a few parameters to that algorithm. It detects, for example, the color changes between consecutive frames. It detects motion of the camera and several other signals, which all together accumulate into a thought or an insight, which might be accurate or not, that a scene has been changed.
And is there a way to train that?
There's a way for us to train that. Okay. It's not exposed externally.
So, secondly, like, is this available for animated content?
It should work. As long as things such as, you know, camera motion, which also exist in animation, or, you know, the amount of color which is within one scene, which is taking place inside somewhere or outside, or you know, daylight changing or so on. As long as there's enough change between frame A and frame B, this technology should pick it up.
And is there a way to include for metadata like existing taxonomies?
So you could definitely merge that, but basically,
could you reword your question?
So the case is like you have a lot of existing taxonomies. Like we know that this is about curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. We know about this is about Halloween. So can we include that information in that, like somehow train the model to say that, like, this is about Halloween now?
So it's not retraining the model, but when you're doing an upload, you can also take a bunch of metadata that you already have from somewhere, manually curated, automated curated, whatever, and for the benefit of search, provide that and say, keep that metadata as part of the index, and then when I'm doing search later on, take that into consideration. So that's available in the upload API.
Yeah, but we have several other innovations on our roadmap, because I think your question is more around like getting to the moments where those concepts are.
Yeah, so it's like knowledge graph. I have a lot of questions.
So we would love to hear more specifics about this use case. So if you can send us an email, we can have a phone call, follow-up phone call on this.
I've got terabytes of videos, family videos I'd love to upload. Is this going to be affordable for the average consumer?
I mean, from a scale perspective, right now we're offering a free preview. Each account gets a certain amount of quota. We can certainly extend the quota for some accounts to process more data. If your question is, will this service be able to process terabytes of data eventually? Yes, it will be able to process petabytes and even exabytes of data because it's built on the underlying structure of services like Azure Media Services, which already does that. And if your question is about a pricing around that, we are still working through a business model for this. We do have some details, but we need to finalize them before we make it available publicly.
So this is maybe a little bit more esoteric. You mentioned, obviously, that where you're processing the video, you're building a fairly good recognition model for individual faces and whatnot. And obviously, Microsoft also has the cognitive toolkit, open source project to do facial recognition and stuff. Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to take the model that is generated from a video upload and extract the model data in a format which is compatible with, say, the cognitive toolkit, upload that into the cognitive toolkit and use that as your recognition basis for those individuals in the future through that processing engine?
Not today, but.
So there's also in cognitive services, there's a face API endpoint. We're actually taking a dependency on that and using that in order to do the, both the training and the identification. We don't offer a way for you not to extract and not also the other type of questions that we sometimes get, which is, I have a model which I've trained, now can I leverage that? But it's definitely something that we'd like to consider.
Again, I think I want to hear more details about where exactly you see such a thing being useful to you. Like, what is the scenario?
Well, I'm thinking, I mean, several things come to mind, obviously, but I'm thinking if you have a reference video with individuals and then you want to just use that as the basis for your model training for a more real-time or offline service processing using the cognitive services engine, and you don't want to train that, as you said, with like mugshots from you know employee cards or whatnot. You want to just take your reference video during the day that you've uploaded and had processed through Azure, and then extract the models and put them into your own processing engine to do real-time processing.
Okay. It's interesting. We should think about it. Okay. I guess we can take one more question.
Lucky me. What sort of indexing engine is used in the background? Is that something which I can locally maintain? Maybe the API give me the metadata and I maintain locally?
So indexing for search or?
Yeah, for search.
We use Azure Search.
Oh, okay. Can we use something like inbuilt database or something where we can?
You can take all the metadata we extract. There's an API called Get Video Breakdown.
Okay.
You can take it and use any search engine you want, any search engine technology, because we are giving you data back in JSON.
But I don't want to go out of the premise at all. You know, the API right away, can it give me the metadata and then I just push it into the local index engine?
Yeah. Okay. If you can use that as a way to do, volatile processing. Mm-hmm. You send the video, it's being indexed. The moment it's being indexed, you get the index, everything gets discarded off, and then use this
but
JSON.
You send the video where? I mean, out of the premise?
Yeah. You need to provide us access to that, even temporarily, in order to do the index.
It's a cloud locally service. Reside, assuming that can the API locally reside, assuming no outside connectivity, and then I can.
When you're providing the link to the source file, you can provide a short hash, which would guarantee that it's only us. That
see, the AI components are hosted in the cloud.
Yeah.
The video needs to be there for it to be processed.
Mm.
And the reason they are in the cloud is because these models are continuously being updated.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Can I maintain the component in my premise? And
the AI component?
The AI component.
No, that's not what we are offering. It's extremely hard because you'll get a snapshot and point model, and that's not where we are going because this really needs continuous maintenance, updates, keeping it, the accuracy keeps on improving as a result. So.
Okay. Okay.
But we do have Azure Gov if you're looking at some of those secure workflows where you want to keep your data in sovereign regions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a lot of the government agencies, they use Azure Government, and we guarantee over that the data resides within that trust boundary, and it doesn't leave that.
Mm-hmm.
So it complies to a much higher bar of compliance certifications.
Got it.
Okay. We're out of time for the room, right? Yeah, so, but we are still available. If there are more questions, we can meet you guys outside. Thanks a lot for coming.